From London, we present Overland Patrol, a series of stories set in the vast Australian outback, featuring Sergeant Adam Strang of the Northern Territory Police. Episode 20, Never Never Mailman.
Level, Jack! Let her go!
As you can see, Adam, this is the way I planned it. All this area will be cleared, extending the airstrip by another 400 yards.
Well, sounds like a great idea, Pat, but for what?
The Folly Downs Air Beef Project, that's what.
Sounds fine, Miss Gordon, if it'll work.
But of course it will. After all, other cattle stations are using the idea. Instead of droving my cattle hundreds of miles on the hoof, all I'll have to do is fly it, already killed and chilled, to the meatworks on the coast. And that's why I'm clearing a new airstrip.
Timber! They'll be clearing us next. Come on, Pat, let's get out while we can.
Oh, we can see it all, Adam, from this rise. Oh, dear, I'm sadly out of condition.
From where I'm standing, Pat, you look just great.
Oh, now, admit it, we don't walk enough.
Well, you know the old territory saying, why keep a horse and walk yourself?
Lazy bones. But tell me honestly, what do you really think of my plans?
Well, there's nothing wrong with them, provided you don't take them too seriously.
Seriously? But Folly Downs Station's my whole life.
Is it? Look, Pat, there's nothing wrong with wanting success, more profits, quicker turn-off of cattle.
It isn't just profits I want. Adam, don't you see? I have to make Folly Downs bigger and better and... Oh. Adam, dear, don't you understand?
I try to, Pat, but sometimes it's a bit hard for a simple-minded copper like me to... Anyway, let it ride.
Oh, Adam, I do wish...
What?
It doesn't matter. But suddenly my cattle don't seem so important anymore.
They're your bread and butter, my dear, and of course you're right to want to expand. And now to bring you back to earth again from air freighters and the like... Don't forget you have a mob of cattle in transit at this moment on their way from Queensland.
I hadn't forgotten. That's the 1,000 head coming over from the Diamantina. R.J. Miller and son have the droving contract.
Well, I had news of the mob after they crossed the state border. By now, Pat, they should be just about moving into your country.
Good. I'll be glad to see them. Those cattle are winter replacements.
And who knows? They may be destined to be the first beef flown out by the Folly Downs Project.
Perhaps. But let's give them time to fatten up first. Oh, you know, Adam, you can laugh, but it's going to be awfully exciting once the project really gets underway.
Hello there. Good day to you.
Oh, hello. For a minute, I didn't see you camped there.
I picked the only shady spot for miles. Why don't you step across and join me in a pannikin of tea? The billy's just boiled.
That's not a bad idea. There now. Steady, idiot head. Hold still.
Oh, that's neat. Tying the rein to his foreleg. He won't get away in a hurry, will he?
That's the idea. Well, you've certainly got yourself a snug camp.
I believe in comfort, even if it's only for one night. Mind you, I'm a bit close to the stock route. Those cattle yards kick dust all over me.
You ought to sue him.
Yeah, I might at that. But I saw you mooching along there, riding drag, as they say in the Westerns, and I had to admire you. It's hot, eh?
Hot and dusty. But the mob can do without me now. They've smelt water and they'll be moving into camp for the night.
Yeah, by the powers, it's amazing.
Hmm? What's so amazing about cattle camped at a ball?
I meant, you're a girl.
So I've been told.
Yes, but I meant, are you really with that droving plant? Honest?
I'm supposed to be honest. And I'm not only with the droving plant, I'm boss of it.
Get out.
Oh, for goodness sake. Do you have to be so darn surprised all the time?
Well, I can't help myself. I'm carried away. Look, what about a nice cup of tea?
That's the second time you've asked me. But where is it?
I'll have one made in two shakes of a lamb's tail, almost. Here, come into the shade. That's it. That's the idea now. And I'll lift one of the seats out of the car, so you can make yourself more comfortable, so to speak.
Hold it. Never mind the car seat. I'm not used to comfort, Mr...
Considine. Ginty Considine.
I'm Sally Miller.
Oh, pleased to meet you, Sally. Here, sit down on this bit of log. I won't guarantee there aren't any ants, but... Well, you know how it is.
I know. It's good to get out of the saddle. Look at that idiot horse of mine, standing there with its head down and its lip stuck out like a kid's pony at the seaside. You wouldn't think to look at him that he's the roughest ride this side of the Diamantina, would you?
That a fact.
This for me?
Yeah, mind out the mug's hot. Oh,
thanks, Ginty.
The milk?
No, thanks. No sugar either. I'm dieting.
Dieting? A slim little thing like you.
Slim? Just look at that. Hey, this tea's good.
I'm glad you like it. Sally, was it Jonick about you being droving boss?
Yes, but only for this one trip. I'm Bob Miller's daughter from the Diamantina.
Is that a fact now?
He's one and only. And he's been trying to live it down for years that I'm a girl. He wanted a boy so badly he even tacked Anne's son after the firm's name. He tried to bring me up like a boy, too.
Go on.
But I tricked him in the end. I got engaged to be married.
Engaged? Ah, well, it's a lucky fella he is, whoever. Getting engaged to a beautiful young lady like yourself.
Well, thank you, Ginty Considine. And how long is it since you kissed the Blarney Stone?
Oh, it's a long time since I came out from the old country. I've been so long in the territory, I wouldn't know a shamrock if one reared up and bit me.
Oh, Ginty.
And me descended from a long line of Irish kings.
But apart from being descended, what are you?
Me? I'm the mailman.
Oh, all that stuff in the back of your stationery.
Her Majesty's mails. If you can see through all that red dust, you'd be able to make out the magic words, Royal Mail, underneath.
And where do you go from and to, Ginty?
Pocketaroo to the Charles River. Mine's a feeder line. Most of the mails go by plane these days.
A big run?
Oh, about 1,000 miles, give or take a mile.
Some postman.
It's a good life if you don't buckle at the knees. Sally, tell me something. Did you trick your old man?
Hmm?
By getting engaged, like you said.
Oh, well, yes, in a way. My father's a hard man to convince. He wanted a son, and by golly, he was going to have one. He kept me in pants for years. So the night I announced my engagement, I had a party, and I ordered a special dress from Brisbane. Mum said I was a knockout. And Mervyn went dumb on me.
Mervyn?
My fiancé. He was struck so dumb I couldn't do a thing with him. It was as if he'd suddenly woken up that there were girls, real girls in dresses and everything. He went mad. He raced off to Julia Creek and married the first barmaid who proposed to him.
But that means you aren't engaged anymore.
Ginty, do I look engaged? No, these ringless hands were only meant for droving. And here I am, almost at journey's end, and I wouldn't say no to another cup of tea.
This is a wonderful moment in me life. Pass your cup. So, you're from Diamantina, eh? You know, I always had a weakness for Queensland girls. Farewell and adieu to you, sweet Brisbane ladies. Farewell and adieu to you, girls of Toowong. For we've sold all our cattle and have to be moving. But we hope we shall see you again before long.
All right, Lightning. How we get?
Good day, Mr. Mark.
Place seems deserted.
Yeah.
Anyone at home?
Reckon old Zach Murphy gone walkabout.
We'll take a look inside his shack.
Okay.
I'll go in first.
Yeah. Good day, Mr. Mark.
It's pretty dim and stuffy in here.
Someone over there, boss. On bed, in corner.
My word, yes. Mr. Murphy? What's the trouble then? Mr. Murphy?
Is him all up dead?
No, he's still breathing, but he's pretty far gone. Lightning, open up a window. Let some more air in.
Good day, Mr. Mark.
He seems to have a raging fever. His forehead's burning. No wonder he hasn't been into Malabar Plains lately. We'll have to get him to hospital.
No filler radio here, is there, Mr. Mark?
No. We'll have to take him down to Malabar, call up the flying ambulance, and have him transferred.
Yeah, you bet.
Grab that blanket. We'll roll him up in it. By the look of him, the poor old chap won't be heavy to carry. Come on now. The sooner we get him in the back of the Land Rover, the better. You know, that's the trouble, Lightning, with living alone in the outback. You get sick, and you've had it.
Yeah,
Larry Crook, all right.
How's the old fella traveling? He isn't being chucked around back there, is he?
Nope. I got him wedged between a couple of tires.
The trouble is, I don't like putting on too much speed. This is a damn awkward, narrow track. Hey!
Look at that!
Maniac! Where do you think you are, in a speedway? Man ought to thump you.
Reckon I'm gonna take you up on that, Mr. Mock. Coming over now. And him, big fella.
Good day.
Why, it's the Pocketaroo mailman.
Yeah. Oh,
by all the powers, trust me to pick on the law to tangle with. And the top of the morning to you two fine members of the constabulary.
Ah, there, Ginty.
I might have guessed it was our mad Irish mailman. Ginty, why the hurry?
I reckon I'm always in a hurry, Mike. Come hell or high water, Her Majesty's mails, may God smile on her, must get through. Besides, I never meet anyone on this section of track. Poor old Zack Murphy never has any visitors.
It's just as well he had some today. Take a look in the back.
Eh? Ah, now the saints preserve us. Is that Zack himself? What's up with him?
Some sort of fever. When the old chap didn't draw his stores last week, Adam Strang got worried about him and sent us out here to take a look.
Oh, poor old beggar. You'll be taking him to the hospital.
That was the general idea before you ran us off the road.
Well, I won't hold up the good work. But Mike, I was on my way to deliver a letter to Murphy. It's from his daughter Lynn at the Alice. I'd know that fine handwriting of hers anywhere. Maybe you'd better take the letter along with you.
Okay, but I only hope he's in a fit condition to read it.
Oh, sure, and I hope so too. He's been waiting for a letter, I know.
Oh, how come?
Well, Lynn's been at him for months to go and live with her and her husband at the Alice. But Zack was too stubborn to give up his old place. You know what a cantankerous old spalpeen is.
Oh, yeah, but him cranky full of spalpeen, all right.
Yes. Well, he gave in at last and wrote to her. But she didn't reply right off, and he got to worrying in case she'd changed her mind and didn't want him after all. Only a month ago, he waylaid me at Malabar, anxious to know if a letter had come.
That must have been the last time he drew stores. Well, Ginty, get that letter and I'll take it down with me.
Good enough. I won't be more than a tick in the heart.
Mr. Mark, I reckon maybe old Zack Murphy live alone too blurry long.
Yeah, you're right there, Lightning. But don't forget, old Zack had been a prospector all his life. His kind hang on to their independence till they drop.
Yeah.
Here are they, Mike. The letter.
Thanks, Ginty. And it's just as well you recognize the handwriting.
I know them all, Mike. Well, I'll be seeing you.
Folly Down Station, Pat Gordon speaking.
Hello, Pat. Just a quick call. How's the air beef project coming along?
Hello, Adam. Oh, things are moving slowly but surely.
Good. I only wish I could lend a hand.
We could certainly do with some help. Trouble is, we've mustering to do at the same time. Oh, I could use about 10 extra stockmen.
Well, if any stockmen drift into town, I'll shoot them straight out to you, Pat. Any other problems?
No, Adam. Sally Miller's still with me.
The celebrated lady drover. That's nice. Well, Pat, I'd better get on, I suppose. See you soon.
Bye, Adam. Can I come in?
Why, yes, Sally.
I hope I'm not interrupting anything, Miss Gordon.
Of course not. And by the way, I'm Pat.
Thanks. My word, you're well organized here. Fine, efficient office, a lovely homestead, and you've got...
Don't envy me too much, Sally. Running a modern cattle station carries an awful lot of headaches.
I'll bet. And I don't envy anybody, really. But I do like people who get things done.
That's hardly surprising in a girl like you, doing a man's job.
I wouldn't say that.
Everyone else is saying it. You delivered that mob of cattle bang on time, with few losses, no headaches, no troubles whatsoever. That's what I call a real man's job.
Pat, I'll be 21 next year, and I don't kid myself. I'm only pretending to be a man, taking over from dear old Dad, bossing those hard-bitten drovers, pushing them and the mob and myself right to the bitter end, just to prove I can do it all as well as Bob Miller. I'm not fair dinkum, Pat.
But Sally, this is the 20th century. We women have proved we're just as good as men at most things. Like you, riding in at the tail of 1,000 head of prime cattle, doing a man's job.
But, Pat, I don't feel like a man. I'm a girl all the way through. And by golly, I want a man and a whole clutch of kids, and that's all I do want in this world.
It's no good. We're just not on the same wavelength.
But goodness me, Pat, you want a husband too, don't you? And a family and all that?
There are other things in life.
Such as what? Are you trying to tell me a lovely girl like you would want to spend her life running a huge cattle station like this one? Oh, it doesn't make sense. Sally, I'd like you to know something. When my father took over this cattle run, everybody said he'd go broke. Almost in defiance, he called the place Folly Downs. But he needed more than a sense of humour as the years went by. One bad season after another, world beef prices tumbling. Well, he failed.
Pat, I didn't know.
When he died and I took over, everybody said I was as mad as he'd been. They sat like crows on a fence, waiting for me to fail, too. I didn't fail, but I'm still fighting.
Pat, what can I say? Mum always reckons my brains rattle every time I open my mouth to breathe. I may be the youngest girl drover in the world, but I'm also the world's greatest lady chump.
Whatever you are, Sally, don't change. And now that I have you at a disadvantage, promise to stay on for a while and help me with the spring muster.
I just can't say no, can I? Anyway, I'd love to stay. To tell you the truth, Pat, I'm intrigued.
Oh?
Well, let me show you something. Here. It's a letter. Go on, read it.
All right. Dear Sally Miller, I saw a write-up about you in the Northern Territory Times. I'm told that your photo's in the Southern papers as well. May I say, Miss Miller, that I think you are the tops. I know you will think this is the devil of a cheek, but I worship you from afar. Yours faithfully.
Yours faithfully? Very correct, isn't it? Also, he didn't sign it, you'll notice.
Sally, you have an admirer.
Now you know why I'm intrigued. Who on earth can he be?
He must have dozens of boyfriends.
Not the kind who write worshipping letters from afar. The only admirers I've ever had have been boys like Mervyn back home. Great big chaps. If they're under 6'6", they think they're stunted and start worrying. They're sweet boys. Marvellous with horses, kind and gentle, and so pure they hold you at arm's length when they dance with you. But, Pat, they're not for me.
Well, in that case, as it's obvious your anonymous lover knows where you are, you must stay here, see what develops. And if there are any more letters, be sure to let me know. I'm intrigued too, you know, just as much as you are.
Good day, Jimmy.
And good day to you, Norman. Is Miss Gordon about? I just wanted... Oh, there she is now.
Oh, hello, Ginty. Thought I recognised your dust coming up the homestead track.
Ah, it's good to see you, Pat. Looking so hale and hearty and sparkling with it. So I won't be asking how you are. The answer's written all over your face.
Ginty?
Yes, Pat?
You saw my sparkling face just 3 days ago.
And it's always a pleasure.
Well, what on earth are you doing out here again?
You're delivering the mails, of course. At least, I have a letter here for Miss Sally Miller. Where is she?
Oh, she's out mustering.
Oh. Ah, I see. Well, here's the letter anyway.
Oh, thank you. Hey, Ginty, you've been a mailman for a long time. Can you recognise the handwriting on this letter?
No, Pat, I can't. I tried to work it out, but it's got me tricked. It's foreign writing to me, Pat. What I'd call a backsloper.
Ah.
Yes. Well, don't forget to give it to her. And now I must be on my way. I've a lot of miles to cover by sundown. So I'll be saying so long now, Pat, and good luck to you.
What about this? Just listen to this bit, Pat. I don't know which is the prettier, your eyes or your lovely golden hair. I would dearly love to bury my face in same. Oh, Pat, in my eyes. If you went in for a beauty contest, you'd win it hands down, so long as it was run fair and square. Believe you me, Sally, there's just no one to touch you. No one in the whole wide world.
Oh, there you are, Marty. Did that report come back from the hospital on Zach Murphy?
Yes, Adam.
Well?
A much more cheerful report. His fever's down. With proper nourishment and care, he'll be as right as rain in a few weeks' time.
Good.
But, Adam, where does he go after he leaves hospital? What does he do?
I imagine he'll always be a prospector, Marty, a fossicker for gold. He made a strike once, you know. He found gold.
Never mind that. What about the letter Michael brought back? The one from Zach's daughter at the Alice. And you had to open it because the old man was dying.
What about it?
What about it? In that letter, Zach's daughter said she didn't want him to go and live with her after all. She said she'd changed her mind.
Well, you can be sure I didn't tell old Zach what was in the letter. I reckoned I'd wait till he was better.
And he's better now. How are you going to keep it from him that he's not wanted? Adam, aren't you listening? What are we going to do?
Mailman, Marty. G'day, Ginty. Any overland mail?
Good day to you, Adam.
Marty, you're looking peachy.
And no mail for you folk, but I've another one from the Alice, from Zach Murphy's daughter, Lynn. Will you take it, Adam, or shall I send it on to the Bush Hospital?
You'd better send it on, Ginty.
But, Adam...
Send it on, Ginty.
Whatever you say, Adam. And I'm hoping it's good news at last for poor old Zach.
It will be.
Adam!
I called up Lynn on the transceiver and had a yarn with her, Marty. The things a policeman has to do in the territory.
You mean you talked her into taking care of her father?
I didn't have to talk very hard. Lynn wanted him all the time, but she can be just as pig-headed as he can.
And that's a fact. Well, I'm glad I'm the bringer of good news for Zach. You know, it's one of the bonuses when you're the never-never mailman.
Which reminds me, I was talking to Folly Downs earlier today. Have you any mail for them?
Now, that's a funny coincidence. It just so happens I have a letter from Miss Sally Miller. I'll be shooting it right out to her.
You'll have to shoot fast, Ginty. The word I had from Folly Downs was that Sally Miller has grown restless. She's gone droving again, and she's headed west.
What the devil and all!
Now, Ginty, pick your hat up, throwing it in the dust like that.
Marty! I'm begging your pardon. I don't know what came over me.
If by any chance you do run into Sally, you might give her a message.
And what might that be?
I heard from her father, my old friend Bob Miller at the Diamantina. He wants to know if his son is coming back and when.
Oh, son, me foot. The man's clearly in Egypt. Well, if I see her, I'll tell her.
Good.
And by the powers, if Bob Miller wants her back, I'll send her back. Special delivery.
She's headed west, Ginty.
Along the old semaphore track.
I'm obliged to you both. And now if you'll excuse me, I'll be on my way.
You watch your speed through town.
Adam, I'm afraid he didn't hear you.
I'll book the Maverick next time round. Marty, you'll never believe it, but our Ginty's been writing anonymous love letters to Sally Miller by every mail.
Of course he has.
You knew?
Certainly I knew. Pat Gordon and I put our heads together and came up with the same answer. Yours faithfully indeed. Adam, suppose he's too late.
If he is, then it'll be the first time our never-never mailman's ever been late for anything. Don't you worry, Marty. He'll chase her to the Coral Sea if need be, and even beyond.
Well. What a surprise. Fancy meeting you along this lonely track.
Oh, fancy.
I just happened to be passing by, delivering Her Majesty's mails, when I see you sitting here, alone under a coolabah tree, with a billy of tea in your hand.
It's a bellar tree, and the billy's been on the fire this past 10 minutes.
Yes.
Now, will you stop hopping on one leg and sit down? That is, if you're not going somewhere else.
Now, where else would I be going but here?
It's funny, but I never knew before that the semaphore track was on the way to the Charles River.
Well, it just shows you. Even a smart, pretty girl like you can't know the lot.
I know quite a bit more than you bargained for, Mr. Ginty Considine.
Oh, do you know? Ah, that just shows you.
No wonder you're looking so shifty. You're breaking regulations by coming along the semaphore track now, aren't you?
Oh, no, if that's all that's worrying you, my dear,
I'm not your dear. Also, you broke regulations by tampering with the Royal Mail.
Oh, now, that's a terrible mark to put on a man. Terrible.
There you are. You're guilty. And keep away from me, you great big anonymous.
Anonymous I may be, but no man can challenge my sincerity. Sally...
Watch out for the billy. You'll be firewalking any minute. And now I think it's time you went away and left me in peace.
Sally, you're not going away, are you?
I'm going home.
But you're going in the wrong direction.
I know which way I'm going. West. All the way along the semaphore track until I find the man who wrote those lovely letters to me.
But, by the powers, only a minute ago you were saying... Sally, I'm the man. It was me.
He's tall, of course.
Well, 6'1"'s not bad.
And strong, like an oak tree. And he's sincere and honest and decent and kind. He's passionate, too. And he's going to sweep me into his arms and... Oh, Ginty!
Gotcha.
Oh, Ginty!
Sally, I only wrote those letters because I daren't say it out loud. Sally, I love you. Will you marry me?
Oh, Ginty, yes. Oh, Ginty, look out! The fire!
Oh, glory be, I'm on fire!
We'll burn together! Oh, Ginty, stop jumping around! I want to kiss you, you great idiot head!
Oh. And I want to jump clean out of my shirt from one end of Arnhem Land to the other. I want to tell the Territory I'm the man to get the mail through come hell or high water. And I'll fight any man who says Sally Miller isn't the sweetest, prettiest girl in the whole damn world.
Yours faithfully.
And by the powers, that's a fact.
That was episode 20 of Overland Patrol by Anthony Scott Veitch and Maurice Travers. Production for the BBC was by John Fawcett Wilson.